This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
This is a best-of broadcast of The Truman Show. Today's guest, Bud Mitchell and Gary Brown.
Actually, we've had a number of guests that show up that I didn't really realize that we were going to have today. And I must be a terrible scheduler because I had Bud coming in, and he drags a stranger in here today that I didn't even know who he was. And then we had an ex-MTSU athlete who's going to come back and share some of his things with you. And I should call Stan McNabb because he knows this guy. And this first half is brought to you by Stan McNabb Automotive, where they provide quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac to the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shelbyville, Tennessee area. For a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. A vehicle you buy from Stan McNabb, Chevrolet, Cadillac, Buick, GMC, and Stan McNabb Jeep, Dodge, Chrysler in Tullahoma, and Stan McNabb Ford in Lewisburg, and a vehicle you buy from another dealership may look alike, have the same equipment, but the big difference is that only at Stan McNabb can you get oil changes and tires for life at no additional charge. Does that kind of cut into your business, Bud?
Yeah, I've got to understand about that. He's killing me.
And here you are, a local guy. He's from here. Actually, he was raised probably a mile from your store?
Well, about a quarter mile. And Stan used to work for me. When the water district came through, they was putting the pipeline in. Mm-hmm. He was pumping gas for me, and he quit because he made more money in the pipeline. So he's been against me ever since, you know.
He always has been smart, hasn't he? And you have repaid him by buying a Chevrolet from him for just about every year that I can think of. You've always had a new car or a truck. I mean, you're more of a truck guy now.
Yeah, we stayed with the Chevrolet. I've got a GMC and a Chevrolet now, but anyway, stayed with his line.
You brought when we were all growing up together off of Woodbury Highway. You brought one of our fellow rogues in here where we used to terrorize the neighborhood, and this gentleman is actually related to me through his mom's side, and everybody knows the name Roscoe Brown, and inherently everybody knows the name Lily Ann, and then there was Buddy. Nobody knew him by any other name but Buddy, and Gary. And Gary is the man who took over the business and was running it for a long time. And really, I never thought that you would get into that business, to be honest with you, Gary.
Well, true, but I didn't start out to be in that business, really. I worked there all my life, you know, through high school and all, but I was a mathematics major in college, and I was going to be an engineer. So I started school at MTSU in pre-engineering in 1961, and my plan was to be there 2 years and go mm-hmm. on a co-op program, UT, mm-hmm. and become an engineer. Well, somewhere in those first 2 years, I was taking engineering courses, and we had engineers come talk to us, and mm-hmm. After listening to them, and engineers were a dime a dozen. They weren't making a lot of money at that time. And I spent a lot of time working in my dad's business. So somewhere about my sophomore year, I decided that engineering wouldn't be for me. So I continued my degree in mathematics and decided that I wanted to carry on the family business.
And the funny thing with you coming up here with Bud did the same thing. They had one, just like Roscoe Brown is the most successful, actually air conditioning and heating and a number of things that go with it in the community. And Bud's store, actually it was Wilson Mitchell when he was there, I think Bud has aspirations of doing other things also. Mm-hmm. But it's funny how the roots grow so deep. But, you know, it's hard to give up something that has a great name and so much respect, because that's hard to walk away from. And when your parents and sometimes grandparents get things started, you want to continue on with it after you grow older and get a little bit more.
Well, that's true. And Bud and I actually talked yesterday, not realizing that we were going to be together today, but we discussed that, you know. My dad retired in 1969. I was 27 years old and green behind the ears. I knew nothing about our business. I knew mathematics, but mathematics, you know, didn't, advanced math didn't really have anything to do with our business. Ours is adding, subtracting, and multiplying and dividing. That's really all you need to know. But when he retired, I really had to learn the business and learn the financial side of it and the management side, how to deal with employees. And so kind of fell into it, much like Bud did when his father passed away. Then it was thrown in his lap, and he had, you know, it's one of those sink or swims. And luckily, the two of us were lucky enough, I won't say smart enough, lucky enough to make both businesses survive.
But they won't survive unless you treat the people the way they should be, give them the service that they request, and you've done well with the employees that you've had there. Because the one I really want to ask you about is Wendell Staley. Now, he's been there almost, I mean, your dad hired him when he was young.
Wendell has been there a year longer than me.
That's a long time.
We had his 50th anniversary with the company this spring. I guess it was early spring because Bud was there.
Yeah.
And thought he was going to retire, but he's still there, still working. He's not in good health right now. He's having some issues, but he still comes in just about every day and works. And
amazing.
It doesn't seem to have any idea about retiring.
Well, you know, he's been moonlighting all these years.
I know that. He's quite a mechanic, and he started out in our business doing electrical work and service work, and eventually, as our company grew and got so many trucks, that basically all he did for the last 15 years was work on trucks, keep them all running.
I actually see Bud over there looking at me, because Bud used to take his time up all the time. Bud made sure that he had a place for him over at his place, and he'd come in there, and Wendell worked the midnight shift over there. Bless his heart. He kept all of us, all of our cars going. So, it couldn't have been a more perfect fit, because Bud always kept us going as far as tires and the lube jobs and things like that, and the brakes. But it was kind of nice having that there at one time.
Mm-hmm. Just talking about Wendell, we were out the store, I believe it was about 1961, and Wendell had gone to Nashville Auto Dealership College, and he got out of the school, and he was kind of looking for a job, you know, and he was just peddling out the store doing things too. But Roscoe put their first central unit in at that time. And Jack Wilson had put it in for Roscoe, because Roscoe had always done the sheet metal and stuff, and he was really new to him. Mm-hmm. So they got a call at the store. They knew Roscoe would be up the store on Saturday morning, and Wendell and all of us was up there. And they said this unit had quit where they'd put in the day or two before. And Mr. Brown, he said, "Hoss, says, you want to go with me?" And he was talking to Wendell. And Wendell said, "I'll ride over with you." And so he rode over there with him. And Mr. Brown looked at the unit and didn't, you know, really know much about it. And Wendell was looking where he was opening these doors. And he saw electrical wire. And he said, "I think this is a trouble." He said, "If you know what it is, you fix it." So he fixed it, and it worked. So they came back out to the store, and Wendell, he got out, and he, on the way back, he told him, says, "We're doing something. Said, I might need you a week or two." And so Wendell told me, says, "I think I got a job for a week or two here from Mr. Brown." I said, "Shoot." I said, "He'll fire you within 2 to 3 weeks. I said, with the way you talk to people, you know, and everything, I said, you won't be there 3 weeks, so, you know, I have made a few mistakes on the things that I tell, but Wendell been there 50 years, and I said he'd be there 2 or 3 weeks."
Yeah.
I tell you what, you and Wendell have been big buddies for a long time, Bud. And I know that y'all work together on other things, and you probably know him as well as Gary does. But I don't think he had to go to any type of diesel school or anything, because he's like a musician that has an ear for music. He can actually listen to a motor and how it's running and tell you exactly what's wrong with it. I've never seen anybody like that before.
He's as good as anybody I've ever seen. I was thinking, you know, about the different things we've done together. And we started out, we built a 56 Chevrolet to drag. Mm-hmm. And Wendell was a lot smarter than I was on money, because there's two or three different things that happened. Right about the time we got out of high school, they had a carnival over at Grantman Rice. And so Wendell had $6 and something, and I had $4 and something. And really, that was a lot of money in a sense, you know, for us boys
back then. It was.
But anyway, he got a pitch in these little round things up to get a titty bag. Well, he used his $6 up, and he got my $4 and something, what it was. We went away broke with nothing. And I was kidding about the other table, but I told him that's the only time I ever loaned him any money. But he come to find out a day or two later, they had the paper where they closed that place down. They said something was, you know, they was cheating on the thing, and I really tore him up, you know, when he done that. But we had this drag car, and we ran 1 year, and we ran it, I don't know, I believe we went to a Cumberland Drag Strip. We went to, they call it Music City now, and then we went to Smithville. And after that 1 year, Wendell was ready to get out of that. And that's what I said. He was a lot smarter than I was. And then I got a fool with stock cars. But anyway, he knew how to manage things, you know.
You know, I think back, and both of you came from families that were very similar, because Gary's daddy, Roscoe, he was always doing something for the community. And I don't know how many times he would load all of us kids up that lived off of Woodbury Highway, and we would all take off and with our parents, and we'd go to Rock Island and had a place over there, and we would spend a whole day and have the best time. And that's the first time in my remembrance that I ever went to a lake. Mm-hmm. And he made things possible for a lot of us. And Bud and I talked about it earlier in the last show. Living out there was really special, because everybody was just like family. And I don't know how many times I've told the story about our first television, where Bud's daddy, Glenn, was talking to Dad at the store. And we were getting ready to go to the big square here in Murfreesboro. And he tried to talk him into getting a television. And Dad said, "No, I can't afford it, and I don't want one." And well, we went up there, spent half a day, came back, and there was an antenna sitting on top of our house and a television on inside. It was probably about a 6 or 8 inch screen, but we had one, yeah. And that ruined us. I mean, we'd sit there and stare at that stupid thing.
I remember something about that I've never forgot. Daddy sent me, when we were putting the antenna up on the side of the house to go on the roof, he told me to go to the store and then get a couple of screws. And you know, I've never forgot that. It's found a funny thing. How many was a couple? I didn't know what a couple was, and I done forgot what I brought back, but I always remembered. He told me a couple of screws. Every time somebody says couple, I remember that. You know, that's kind of funny. And there's another thing that you know, is talking about Roscoe carrying us to Rock Island. Mm-hmm. We always, Sunday morning, he would carry us to church. Mm-hmm. We never went and missed church. We'd go to church at Rock Island. That's one thing that he did too, that he'd carry us up there and have fun. But we'd go on Sunday and we'd worship.
We always went to the same little Church of Christ there in Walling, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. It was just down the road from where we stayed. We stayed at a place called Calvert's Camp, and they had little cottages, but they didn't have running water. And mm-hmm. You had an outhouse outside, and you had to go to a little faucet down there to get you water, and you heated that up to clean it up. But Bud's right. We'd get up on Sunday morning. We may go fishing. We may go water skiing, but we always went to church. And Dad had been there for so many years that, you know, they'd call on him to pray or to wait on the table at during communion. But we went there for a long time.
You know, it's funny when we have events or anything that has to do with somebody's family that grew up over there, you always see a lot of people that are still around, the ones that are still around, yeah. go to those mm-hmm. functions. And Bud's daughter was married recently, mm-hmm. Allison, mm-hmm. who is sweet as she can be, and one of the nicest girls that I know anywhere. And I was so tickled to be invited and got to meet so many people new, but there's also a lot of people that we grew up with out there. Yeah. And it was absolutely a gorgeous wedding night at Ms. Vaught's mm. house and at Kay's mama's house.
Yeah.
And it's funny that when you have business like that and you treat the people right and are always there when they need you, the relationship just continues.
Yeah.
It never ends. And I think when Bud was on last, I don't know how many people called me and said that was really a great show because they loved to hear him. Now, I don't know if they were more interested in Bud or more interested in Paul Nipper at the time, but we had a great time.
I say that, you know, was talking about businesses. I like to lost my business 3 or 4 years ago. Kay and I kind of got into it in the office there at the tire shop, and I didn't forget what we were talking about.
What was it she threw at you? I can't remember.
Well, she wanted to. She did say that after everybody leaves. But anyway, we were talking in Wilson and Mitchell's across the road, and we made a hardware store out of it, mm-hmm. and it's been that several years. But anyway, I asked her, I said, which side of the road do you want? I said, and she stepped a little closer, and she said, both of them. And I'd been changing a tire, so I went back out there and finished changing that tire, and we hadn't said nothing else about that either. So she pretty well, you know, took control of it.
I didn't think that you guys ever had a crossword, because I think it was pretty much understood yeah. from day one who the boss was.
Well, it says Bud's Tire, and mm-hmm. that's one thing she pointed out. She said it could say Kay's Tires just as easy. It says
yeah,
Bud's.
Same letters.
Yeah, I did believe her.
Yeah.
It doesn't take long, Truman, to realize that a happy life is a happy wife.
Right.
You keep your wife happy, then everything's going to go smooth. But if mama's not happy, you know.
Nobody's happy.
Nobody's happy.
That's right.
And I remember your mama well. And she was always so nice and sweet. But I can remember one time, and Bud was talking about low heat back years ago. And we were over at your house, Gary. And we were tantalizing him, which was not unusual for those days and time. And she saw us, and she came out, and you talking about letting somebody have it. I mean, it just tore her all to pieces that we were not treating him like he should be treated.
Yeah.
Well, just talking about low heat, I was just thinking, you know, we all had nicknames, and Gary's was Deb. And somebody said, well, what Deb mean? I said, it was Debbie Doodle. But I don't know how in the world we come up with that. But his was, and then we had David Clancy, was Mr. Peepers, you know.
Yeah, well, that
and
was
then,
obvious.
James West, he was low heat. We had we pretty well had everybody pegged, and some of them I could tell you where they come from. Some of them I couldn't.
Satchel Paige. Bobby
Satchel Paige.
Satchel Paige.
Right.
My daddy gave him that name because we were out playing baseball in the yard, and Bobby threw a baseball and went through the window. In our house. So Daddy come out there and said, come here, boys, come here. You too, Satchel. He called Bobby over and said, you kind of play baseball a little bit like Satchel Paige, but you're not nearly as good. And that's the name. In fact, I played golf with at our class reunion. We had our 50th class reunion last weekend, and Bobby was there, and we had nine of us got together on a Friday morning and played golf, and Bobby played with us. And he was telling a story about where his name Satchel came from. My daddy gave it to him, you know, back when we were still in grammar school.
Bobby hadn't changed a bit over the years, but you remember you had a ball field behind your house,
mm-hmm.
and we used to play in that all the time.
Right.
And every once in a while, we'd get in the game with Loafer's Rest. And I don't know why those guys had a bone to pick with us. But you remember, we always got into trouble every time we played Loafer's Rest, and I don't understand why.
I told them they was mean. I don't know where it was us or them, but we thought it was mean.
they called us city slickers because we was 5 miles closer to town than they were.
Well, you know, I think that they were always prepared, though, in case something happened to the bat where it got cracked. They always had a knife with them so that they could cut the tape and make sure that it was wrapped back together.
Well, you know, I was talking about nicknames, too. I talked to Kenneth Lanham About 3 days ago, a good friend of ours, Ed Boom Boom Cannon, died. Mm-hmm. He lived in Harrisburg, Illinois. Now, he hung out at the store. We had old feed sacks on the front, and we had a warm morning inside. And he would come out there and just hang out with us, you know, and he really got to be a good friend. And I called Kenneth and told him he had passed. And Kenneth, if he was here, he would probably come in this room after me now, but we used to call him Mange.
Yep.
And I don't know why.
I have never figured out why, because we all called him that, but I never knew where it came from.
I mean, it would nearly make him fight. Man, I believe it would today. You know, I wouldn't tell him to his face now. See, I talked about Gary before, and I can't really say anything because Gary knows enough on me that I can't say anything, and I know enough on him. So, you know, it's kind of neutral there, but we can talk about Kenneth today. But I'm going to say that word Mange. And if he ever hears about it, I'll still have to answer.
I think Carolyn listens to this show.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy.
So I'll guarantee you she'll get it back to
Maybe her. She didn't. Maybe she went to get something to eat or something.
Now, tell me about
it. You know, before we get on another subject, I think my brother gave him that name.
Oh, really?
Buddy was four years older than me, and which made him 5 years older than Kenneth. And he was always kind of rough on Kenneth. And Kenneth always had long hair, you know, and nice looking hair. But Buddy, I told him it looked like dog with mane. That's the first time I remember hearing it.
Well, he sure didn't like it.
See, we learn something every time and I don't see you enough to even call you cousin anymore. I mean, my goodness, you stay on the run all the time. And how is it, since you've got away from the business and relaxed, how's your life changed?
Well, I spend obviously a lot more time away from Murfreesboro, mm-hmm. but I always enjoy coming back. And since I sold the business to my son, when I do come back to Murfreesboro, I spend basically every day at the office. I still have an office. I still have a computer. And
does Norman let you back in?
He hasn't changed the locks yet, and mm-hmm. and my code to the alarm system still works.
Mm-hmm.
And my desk is still there, but if I come in any time and my desk is gone and my key doesn't work, then I know it's time to leave.
Do you pick a certain time to go down to Florida and kind of take it easy and get away from, is it the weather, or do you just enjoy it down there?
Well, we just enjoy it down there. We've met some good people, and we bought a house down there, and we play a lot of golf, and we found an area that we like, and we're in a little community with a golf course. And as it turned out, there's five other people from Murfreesboro who have moved. They own places down there. Some of them spend more time than others. And we all belong to the same little community, little country club, and play golf together. So we got new friends down there, but our old friends are down there too.
You can't get away from Rutherford County people no matter where you go.
No, you sure can't.
Gary picked golf, you know, and I was thinking about that too. We used to race, you know, and got a few little stock cars, and then it was a time to quit doing that. But I told him instead of playing golf, I like fighting fires. That's been one of the, I'd say, most fun, one of the most, it's rewarding, rewarding things that I've done.
Yeah, don't say fun, because I've seen you come out of those houses
that can't be
where
fun.
You would be as white as a ghost. Probably have very little oxygen left in your lungs, just more smoke in there than it is oxygen. And there they are working on you, and you're laying there, and you're telling me that's fun?
Well, you know, I just it gets you going. I mean, you know, and I didn't start doing it till I was 48, and I told him I wanted 20 years, and I've got 21 in now doing it. But I've really enjoyed that too. And you know, it's kind of like what. Another thing I was thinking about, one of the things I do is I like to ride my motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get to ride much, but that's the most relaxing. I guess it's kind of like Gary's golf. It's the most relaxing thing I do is just to get out and to ride. And most of us had motorcycles, you know, coming up out there. I don't know how we got grown, you know, with them, because we was all skin up. And I was thinking about Gary. One day Gary was on his bicycle, and he was coming down the road, and it was kind of downhill, and he turned right there at Jameson's store, mm-hmm. and a lady that was a nurse pulled up there in the car just as he turned at it, and Gary went out across the top of the car and skin him up, but I don't think it really ever hurt him. But I've always thought about that, you know, with us coming up, the different things that happened. That was about the funniest things you've ever seen. He looked like a bird going out across the car, you know.
I bit my tongue almost in two when I hit the car, and it didn't hurt me nearly as bad as it scared the lady driving the car. She thought I was going to die, you know, I was dead, and you know, it didn't hurt me. But getting back to motorcycles and scooters, I had a little old Harley Davidson, 125cc. I mean, you could outrun it with a bicycle. But Bud's dad bought him a new scooter.
I remember.
For Christmas. A little green scooter, little bitty front wheel on it like that. Bud, you know, he had to turn the handle to shift the gears. So Bud's going down Jake's Avenue there, gets up there at the end, where it used to be the cul-de-sac there, you know, and turn around that gravel, and of course, and here he went.
Mr. Jake's property.
Head and heels and motor scooters down, you know, and bend it up a little bit. And he had to come back and show his daddy, you know, that brand new scooter. And here it is, Dad. I've already had my first wreck.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with the scooters in just a minute.
You're listening to a Best of the Truman Show with today's guest, Bud Mitchell and Gary Brown.
One of our new sponsors is At Home Care, where they're at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, and they're right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. You can reach them at 713-4639 or check out their website at www.athomecaretennessee, and that's TN.com. And what they provide for you is a service that I think that we will all need at one time, and many need it right now. As you get older, you have a harder time taking care of the task that you have to take care of at your home, and none of us wants to leave our home. And they provide a person's ability to remain at home, and they go in and take care of the errands, laundry, personal needs, light housekeeping, transportation to appointments, grocery shopping, meal preparation, medication reminders, and many other things. And they're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you're having any specific times, whether it's an age problem or you're having physical problems or whatever, and you just need help, give them a call.
This is Sean Brown at Southeastern Tire Service, where we now offer the Michelin Promise Plan. The Michelin Promise Plan is a new offer which includes a 30-day ride guarantee, 3-year flat tire changing assistance, and a limited mileage warranty on all Michelin passenger and light truck tires, replacement and original issue. Did you know we now provide air conditioning service? Let our ASC certified technicians get your car road ready today.
Southeastern Tire Service on Broad Street across from Advance Auto.
Hello, this is Jim Bryan at First Bank.
And I'm Chuck Lewis. First Bank presents Good Neighbor Events, news of what our local schools, churches, and community groups are doing.
Good Neighbor Events for a Tuesday. The VFW Post 141 meets at 7 o'clock tonight at the St. Clair Street Senior Center. Also at 7 tonight, the Cripple Creek Cloggers practice over at First Baptist Church, 200 East Main Street. It's a great opportunity to meet friends, get some good exercise, and if you like it, take some fascinating trips. The Cripple Creek Cloggers meet at 7 tonight at First Baptist Church on East Main. Free GED classes for adults at 6 o'clock every Tuesday and Thursday evening. There are two locations, the Patterson Community Center, as well as Franklin Heights Family Learning Center. For information, call 893-5812. And if you're interested in preserving our rural qualities, the Preserve Our Area's Rural Qualities meeting is tonight at 7 o'clock. You need to be there. That meeting is at 373 Old Woodbury Pike in Reedyville, 7 o'clock tonight. For information, call 563-2200. And the Tennessee Freedom Coalition presents a speech by Gert Wilders, 7 o'clock tonight at Kingdom Ministries Worship Center. That's at 675 East Jefferson Pike, 7 o'clock tonight. And on hot days, you need to check on your senior citizen friends and loved ones who are alone and ill. Fans and air conditioners definitely do save lives. If you need one, call Dwight Ogleton at the Cool Aid Program, 818-2459. And if you'd like to make a difference, make a check out to the Kool-Aid program and take it by First Bank on Memorial. Good Neighbor Events brought to you by First Bank.
Weather Eye.
Mainly sunny this afternoon, high in the upper 80s. Tonight, mainly clear, low near 62. Sunny on Wednesday, high near 90. Wednesday night, clear to partly cloudy, low near 68. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 84.
Hey, this is Tom over at Kirk & Burt's. Today's special is our barbecue sandwiches for $1.50. You can add a piece of homemade pie for a full, healthy meal. Kirk & Burt's, 517 Kaysen Lane, just past the theater. Or call in your order, 893-FOOD.
He knows Rutherford County as good as anybody. Truman Jones. It's the Truman Show here on WGNS AM and FM.
It's the best of the Truman Show with today's guest, Bud Mitchell and Gary Brown.
Sausage and biscuits, gravy and grits, home ground, homemade, it'll get you fits. Blueberry pancakes and corn cakes too, I'm a-licking my lips now, how about you?
Man, Gary, you haven't been up here much lately. You've been down south, but the Readable Mill has opened up, and Tom Brady has refurbished it, and it's back just like it was 200 years ago. And they do a lot of stuff out there. I mean, they have weddings or bring groups out, but every Saturday morning from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., they have one of the best breakfasts you can ever put in your mouth. And everything is made right there in the fully operational grist mill. And if you want to go out there, just take a drive down John Bragg Highway. And once you get to Cripple Creek, you know where that is. Just turn left across the street. Don't go into Cripple Creek. Go into the old Woodbury Road. And it takes you all the way to the Readable Mill. As you cross the river, then you know it's there. And if you're listening, if you want to go out, you might want to call ahead of time at 563-6455. Or if you're an internet person, which I'm not, you can reach them at www.readablemeal.com. And you heard John Blankenship and friends. And the friends are Avent Lane, Ken Frizzell, Sarah Frizzell, and Billy Yearwood. And they're out performing every Saturday morning. And it's such a treat. And you go back in time, like I said earlier. And we were talking about scooters. And Bud has always had a personality problem. I mean, he can get something new, and then the first thing he's got to do is tear it up. Because I remember the very first scooter he ever got. I went by on my way to play ball, which I had rather play ball than get into grease and all that, all the stuff. But Bud had rather be tearing something up and putting it together. And I think just about everything that he's ever gotten in his life, he tried to improve on it. And I know it brought a lot of consternation to the family, and I still feel sorry for him. I mean, they worked so hard to give him things.
Well, every time he bought a new car, he had to put a 411 rear end in it, you know, gear it lower so it would take off faster. Mm-hmm. He was always changing transmissions, always doing something to make it faster. Something about Bud, he always liked speed. You notice that?
Well, I can tell you this. He came over to our house one day, and Jackie needed something, and he drove in, and it hadn't been about 3 weeks before that, somebody had hit our front brick entrance into our driveway. And we just had just gotten it repaired. And Bud started leaving. Jackie said, no, don't back up, because she was scared he was going to hit the brick again. She says, pull around and turn around so you can go out forward. What does he do? He guns it and screeches tire marks all the way down our driveway and back out on Manchester Highway. And how he missed those bricks, I'll never know. But he's always, I think he's kind of always fancied himself as a NASCAR driver. You know, he used to drive some here, and he was involved with, you know, racing some of the big names like James Clymer and some of them. I mean, he never got up to that status, but I think that was his dream.
I think he taught Dale Earnhardt everything Dale knew.
Well, he says he did, yeah. Well, actually, I always thought he was a Dale Earnhardt fan, but, you know, Dale Earnhardt Jr., he's come off of him. I think one of the reasons is he hasn't won a race in 3 years. But I think that the man he's really pushing right now is Kyle Busch. I believe that he is locked on to him, Because I could almost swore I saw him standing and cheering the last time Kyle Busch won when he was there.
Well, I used to eat M&M's knowing when you meet them now. And you're talking about that too, James Clymer.
Uh-huh.
The only time that I ever brought money home, and we raced for years, but I put a motor in one time for James. And I'm telling you, the only time that I brought money home was when James drove the car.
That poor engine, that's the first time he had a real driver.
James would... James could have been up with David Pearson and Richard Petty.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about it.
If he just had the brakes, and he caused part of his own brakes, but mm-hmm. he had the talent. He's just talking about talent like for Wendell. Mm-hmm. He had that talent, and that's one reason I had to have Wendell as a friend. He had to help me fix things. I told him if I'd still be broke now if I had to had paid for all of what I tore up, you know, as far as parts and stuff, but... Wendell had a, he's just a natural knack. It was the same as James Clymer was in driving the car. People's natural at doing things, and it comes natural to them, such as even being able to play a piano. You know, you see people just sit down and play a piano without even lessons, but James could play a fine-tuned piano on a car. He was good.
I know, and you know this too, he used to drive for some of the Hollywood studios.
Yeah.
He was a stunt driver, sure, for them, and they actually said that he was the best driver that they ever had to do all those crazy things, because it seemed like James was just fearless. He didn't matter what it was.
That's exactly right. That's what I was going to say. He had no fear. James had no fear when he was behind the wheel. He never thought about having a wreck or getting hurt. It was all about doing, if it was stunt driving, doing it properly, or if it was a race, it was winning. I mean, he'd pass them on the inside, outside, you know, anything. He'd bump them. It didn't matter. He was just fearless. But he was a great driver.
Y'all went out to Smyrna and drove quite a bit.
Yeah. We went to Smyrna and some and to fairgrounds. Run down fairgrounds.
How was it driving in Smyrna? Because everybody was right on top of you there. I never will forget that.
You know, I thought about that. And when the race starts, you're running bumper to bumper, mm-hmm. somebody behind you, somebody in front of you, and the side right beside of you. And when you go into a fire, that a house is really on fire, that's the same feeling that you got as when you start that race. And that's the, I guess, the adrenaline pumping in you, but that's the same feeling that you get. And that's one reason, I guess, I've enjoyed not people's house burning, but having the opportunity to help them, you know, put it out, because... we had a real bad fire about a week and a half ago, and it was really bad over on Delta and Mankin. And actually, we liked to lost the house, but it was a bad fire.
And you got a good bunch at that Kittrell Fire Department. You really did. I mean, that community is blessed to have all you guys.
Well, you know, it's two or three things that I've done that I've thought about. I got in the National Guard in 1960, and I've met people from all over this county, and also when we went to Central, you know, we met people from all over the county. And another thing I've done, the fire departments, I met people from all over the county, you know, and got to know them as friends. And so I've been blessed in that sense of being able to work with people, you know, if it be for Christiana or anywhere down Smyrna, you know, Walter Hill, Las Casas, and Las Casas now have really had a good working together because the people that's involved, and we know so many of them.
The fire departments, you know, I think is one of the best values that a community could have, because those guys are offering their time. It's free of charge.
Yes.
And they're out there performing at a very high level. But you can tell the difference in each fire department by the leadership that they have. And Kittrell has been very fortunate to have you out there as a leader and a steadying force. And
all I do is ride the tailgate. But, you know, the one thing that the mayor has done, I think, and he's put Larry Farley in as a chief, and Larry knows the problems of the county, and he knows, he's been doing this as long as I have, he knows what's really going on. But it's really helped, you know, having someone like him, because as much money as being put out, it needs oversight, and he's doing a pretty good job of doing that. And there's a lot of problems, but still, it's a good service, you know.
And you guys not only are out there fighting the fires, but you've got to be able to raise money to be able to continue to do it, because that's a costly project to keep those trucks on the road.
Yeah.
And you have the most successful ham breakfast that I have ever seen in the community. I know that the rescue squad here in town many, many years ago had one very similar to what you have. But you bring people, I mean, your relationship, just like you mentioned, goes all across the community. Everybody just converges on at Kittrell for that ham breakfast, and it doesn't matter where they live there or not, because I know a lot of us still go back over there simply because a lot of it is because of you and your family.
Well, it has brought the community together. That one thing, I think, has brought the Kittrell community together better than anything that's gone on in the last several years, because when they lost the high school and that kind of a community-type school, you lose a lot of that. But it has brought that back, and people come to meet one another too. And you get to meet people all over the county. That's another thing too that we've been blessed with, that people come and you get to meet them, you know, where you don't see them very often. And I was thinking about one person, was talking about nicknames, Charlie Pinkerton. And you was talking about this one day with someone on the radio just talking about horses.
Yes, well, I remember that well.
I don't remember where Gary was down there or not, but Butch got on a horse.
And Butch is me.
Yeah, it took off, and it took running toward the barn. And, you know, I watched that horse, and from then on, I decided I was going to ride a motorcycle, because I could control that gas fee where he couldn't control that horse.
Not until we went through the side of the barn, taking all the planks with us, and I happened to get one of those planks in my hand.
Yeah, well, you know, Charlie, the horse was there at his house. I guess that's the reason I'm bringing Charlie up. But we called Charlie Humpy. I call him
now,
Hump.
Now, where did that nickname come from?
You know, I don't know where it's the way he walks or what. But anyway, we've always called him, and everybody knows him as Hump, you know. But there's something that we need to remember. Charlie's wife, Maddie, has a very serious illness, and we need to remember her in our prayers.
We do.
And Charlie's doing a good job of taking care of her, but anyway, I want y'all to remember her in the prayers.
You couldn't have a nicer person than Charlie.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Charles had a younger brother, Ray.
Right.
And the two of them, of course, they lived down there on the
Woodcraft.
What was it? Woodcraft, And they had a big front porch, you know, with a big tall, and that's where I learned how to ride a bicycle. I couldn't get on the bicycle because it wasn't big enough. It wasn't tall enough, so they'd get up there and they'd pull the bicycle up by the porch, and I'd get on the porch and get on the bicycle, and they'd give me a push, and I'd take off. I learned how to ride a bicycle in their front yard. So.
Yeah, and it's funny how all those, of course, Mitchell's Grocery was the center of all of it back then. It was kind of the heart of the community. But everybody is, even to today's time, if I go out to a Little League baseball game or anything like that, I get to see the grandkids of the people that we grew up with and the kids. And it's so fun. And I'm sure things like that happen all across the county. But it just, of course, you always seem to have a favorite when and that's the place that you grow up at. And you never... You never forget that, and I've always enjoyed it. But you were talking about Charlie, and I think Charlie is one of these NASCAR fans, right?
Yeah, he's a NASCAR fan.
Has he ever been with you on any of those trips?
Oh, we've used to go to Daytona all the time. Every February race, we'd go to Daytona, and he hadn't been able to go for the last probably about 5 years, but it's because Maddie wasn't able to travel, you know.
You have a strange group that goes on those trips. How do you guys get along?
Well, this man pulled up beside us one time, was leaving the race, and he was a Darrell Waltrip. Charlie was a Darrell Waltrip fan. He had a Darrell Waltrip cap on. And Darrell started in front the first lap. He was on the pole. Mm-hmm. And when they came around, he was the last car. And the race kind of went like that for him, you know. Mm-hmm. So we was leaving the race, and Charlie had a Darrell Waltrip hat on. And this man stop and go traffic. This man looked over at me and said, "Darrell Walter." He saw that cap over, and I said, "Mister, I just picked him up right down the road. I don't even know him."
It seems like your loyalties go quick.
Bud, yeah, they do.
Bud started out going to Daytona with a strange group because he and I and Wendell Staley used to go down there for the February races, and I
the 500
to the 500. Mm-hmm. I won't forget one year.
we came up with a camper somewhere. Somebody had a cab over camper. So I took one of my daddy's pickup trucks. It was an old Dodge pickup truck. We put that camper on there, and we headed out to Daytona. And we stayed in the infield, you know, during the race, but we didn't have a place to stay, so we were just going to park on the beach and sleep in that camper. Well, they ran us off from one place, so we went down the beach a little ways and stopped at another place, and everything went fine until we started trying to move the next morning. Well, that truck, the tires were just digging into that sand. It just kept going down and down. This guy came back by with big wide tires, you know, and he had a nylon cable he was going to pull us out with, but he was going to charge us $20. And, but no, we're not going to pay that. We kept digging. Finally, that boy just came back by again, just sat out there and waited for us. And finally, we had to pay him his $20, and he pulled us out, and we made it to the race. But he started out with a strange group, see, and he hasn't changed. I don't go anymore.
Well, another time we went in Charlie Perry's station wagon. And at that time, you could park on the beach. Well, we parked on the beach. And two of us slept in the back, and one slept in the front, the back seat, the front seat. But it was three of us, Wendell, Gary, and I. And during the night, I heard a strange noise, you know. And I thought, well, what is that? And I finally got up, and water was running in under us. The tide had come in, and we were out in the water, you know. I don't reckon we realized the water came in like that, but I'd always thought about that. If we hadn't woke up, we might still be floating out there, you know.
We were country boys. We weren't used to
low tide and high tide. Yeah, I could give you guys a new nickname. I guarantee you that. But when we used to go on there, you were talking about the guys that would come and tow you out of the ruts that you dig.
Yeah.
I used to watch those guys, and we would go down there, and we would park our motorhome and back it up away from everything where we knew where it was still solid ground. And we'd sit those guys watch, you know, making money hand over fist. And I said, man, that's the kind of job I want. You get down here on the beach and be able to do that. But I tell you one stupid thing I really, and you're talking about country boy. There was a pier that went out where we were. And I wanted to get over there on the other side. So I didn't even think about how high that pier was. And I was driving over on the other side, and I saw all these people just gathering around looking at me. And, you know, I thought I was doing a pretty good job, you know, driving on the beach with that motorhome. And then they were just eyes got big, real big, and they kept looking. And what I didn't realize, I cleared that. They said couldn't have been over an inch or 2 inches. I liked it took the whole top of that motorhome off going in there. And probably would have taken the beer with it. I mean, that shows you how stupid I was. But when you've been gone almost how long? What time? How long you? I can't say retirement, but you've kind of the emeritus or whatever.
I sold the business to my son, I guess, was in 2005.
And Norman has been running the place.
He runs the business.
Have you expanded any of your services? I know you did after your dad was gone.
Yeah. Well, we got into the sheet metal business really in a big way in the late 80s, so it would allow us to get in to do bigger commercial jobs. Then we got into doing apartments, and then we got into doing the schools. We've done 50, 60, 70% of the schools that's been built around Rutherford County. And we opened a branch in Nashville. We have a branch there, and we opened one in Tullahoma. And my son and I are still partners in the one in Nashville and the one in Tullahoma, but he owns the one in Murfreesboro. But we do insulation, we do air quality products, air cleaners, we do ductless mini splits, pretty well anything that is involved with heating, air conditioning, or ventilation.
Now, I'm kind of a novice at anything having to do with that, but I know from time to time, and I've got your system in my house, and it does a great job, but it freezes me to death. It's on, I think it changes from time to time and adjusts on the heat and the cooling. And my house sometimes will just get colder than whiz. I put it up to 78, and it's still cold. When it comes on, it just blows me out of the house, and I don't like cold. What do I do?
You turn the thermostat
up a little bit further.
Yeah, see, he was talking about us, you know, being kind of redneck, and we don't even know to turn the thermostat.
Wait a minute, guys. I was turning it up, but it will adjust on me. All right, say if I turn the thermostat on 78, and I go back and look at it an hour later, the thermostat has adjusted itself from 78 to 74. And Wendell Staley is the one that talked me into getting that system.
Okay, so you must have a programmable thermostat.
It's what it is.
Yeah.
Now, how can I override that
setting? You have to change the setting on it. You've probably got it set for 74, and then when you push it up and override it, it'll override itself for a couple of hours, and it reverts back
so,
to
so I get back setting. Into that system thing, and then I can reset
it. Right. Or you can put it on hold. You can put it has. All the thermostats are different, but yours probably has a hold position. You just punch hold, you can set it on 78 and punch hold, and just stay at 78. It won't run back.
Okay, all right. What if I want someone to come in and check my air quality in my house? What do they check on? I mean, what do they do? What can they come in and make sure that the air quality is safe?
The easiest way to do it is there's a device called an Air Advice. And it's a 24-hour monitoring system. You bring it in your house, plug it in, let it stay for 24 hours. Then we send it back to the factory, and they send you a printout on humidity, temperature changes, carbon monoxide, any...
if there's mold or anything in the system. Because I think I'm about at the point I want to do that.
All you need to do is call Roscoe Brown's.
That's a caller actually said, you know, maybe it's time for a service call.
I think the caller is exactly right, and I appreciate Brian calling in and telling you that.
Well, it wasn't
you,
me.
You talk to yourself quite a bit.
Well, I
understand. It was either you or Norman. It was probably Norman.
It was Norman.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break and be right back with you.
You're listening to a best-of airing of The Truman Show with today's guest, Bud Mitchell, and Gary Brown.
This is Truman Jones. Let me take just a minute to tell you about my friends down the road in Shevaville at Pirtle & Howerton Automotive. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, Pirtle & Howerton is the place to go. Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC. You can find anything you need at Pirtle & Howerton Automotive in Shevaville. They take pride in the vehicles they sell and strive to succeed in great customer experience and satisfaction. Whether you are looking for a new or used, their friendly and knowledgeable staff are eager to assist you in your car buying process. You can check out their extensive inventory at PearlHowerton.com.
That's Pirtle & Howerton Automotive, 2006 North Main in Shelbyville. Don't let a 20-minute drive cost you thousands of dollars. Go by, see them today, or give them a call, 1-800-264-6800, or online at PirtleHowerton.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Lewis with First Bank in Murfreesboro.
And Jim Bryan of First Bank in Smyrna.
Did you know that Social Security and other federal benefits are moving to a paperless system?
If you're currently receiving a paper check from the government and want to know more about how you can make the transition to direct deposit, stop by your local First Bank branch or call 890-1111 in Murfreesboro or 267-1111 in Smyrna.
That's 890-1111 or 267-1111. First Bank, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Wade Hayes of Toots Good Food and Fun Restaurant. Come on down and try one of our delicious entree salads. We make 6 or 7 delicious salads. You're going to love them. We've got our wraps, and you can wash it all down with Minute Maid Lemonade Light. Only 5 calories per glass, and it's delicious. Tastes just like homemade lemonade. Now there are 3 Toots locations to serve you. On Sam Ridley Parkway in Smyrna, at Broad Street and Medical Center Parkway in Murfreesboro, and our newest Murfreesboro location on South Church Street at Barfield Crescent Road.
The Truman Show now continues on the voice of Rutherford County, WGNS AM and FM.
This is a best-of broadcast of The Truman Show with guest Bud Mitchell and Gary Brown.
And we have a caller on the line, and 2 of them, matter of fact. Caller, welcome aboard.
Hello.
Hello.
Bud.
Yes.
What would you say the shortest time you owned a car?
Well, it has been a brief time.
Would you think it would be a 409 Chevrolet?
that nearly caused me to quit buying Chevrolets.
This is Joe, bud.
Yeah, I knew it was.
I knew it was, too.
Yeah.
I just want to tell all of you, I appreciate, especially Truman, I appreciate your service to our county and, you know, all you've done. And I love listening to your show. And, Bud, I appreciate everything you've done for the community. And, Gary, I don't know what to say to you, but I appreciate you, Bud. Y'all have a good one. I just had to call in, rub Bud about that 409.
Yeah. I appreciate that. All right, second caller, welcome with us.
Well, good afternoon. I just wanted to say how much Bud and Gary mean to the community and what great people they are, good role models. And Gary especially, I tell you, you have helped our family so many times. And I've learned that your checkups, your twice-a-year checkups, best investment anybody could make.
Thank you very much. We spend a lot of time and effort settling those, and we try to do a good job of maintaining units once or twice a year, whatever that the person wants. But they definitely are a good investment because it will extend the life of your system.
Y'all have a great day.
You too, Bart. You're doing well today, I know. I can't wait. He's going to be back on the air Monday. That is hard to believe. Gary, it's been an absolute pleasure. And what he was talking about is I have that too. They come in and service mine, and I really enjoy it. And I am going to take advantage of the with you guys coming in and making sure my house is safe, because I think that's one thing that just about everybody worries about, and it doesn't take but just what a day or so to be able to find out.
Just takes one day, and they can come out and we put the system called Air Advice, set it in your house, let it run 24 hours, and we'll pull the tape out, send it to the factory, and they'll send back a complete analysis of your air quality and temperature, humidity, any radon you might have in your house, anything that's carbon monoxide, anything that's going to cause you a problem.
Well, it's such a pleasure to see you again. I don't get to see you much, in fact, I see Norman a whole lot more than I do you.
Well, that's the way it's supposed to be. He's here working. See, I don't have a job, so I don't have to hang around.
See, Bud and I aren't as smart as you are. I mean, there's just something about work that we can't get away from. It just clings to us like a leech or something.
Well, it might be that you two are more greedy than I am. You just love making money, so
maybe
you just won't
more.
Quit.
Actually, I like paying my bills. I really do. It does help. Well, this has been a fun time. Either one of you want to say anything parting to anybody at all?
Well, I better tell Case, you better meet me at the Cracker Barrel, or y'all see, instead of Bud's tire, it'll help Kay's tire out there. She told me to meet her at 3
o'clock. Which one?
Cheval Road.
Oh, Cheval?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Are you inviting all of us out?
Where anybody that'll come.
Okay.
And Truman's going to pay, by the way.
Yeah, just everybody be there and just tell them when you're leaving that I'm taking care of the bill. And no problem. Oh, you're not going to the Blackman barbecue tonight? John L. Beatty was here, and I thought you told him you were going.
No, I told him I probably couldn't, but I would like to go. But you know, barbecue is kind of like a burnt house. You know, it's got that smell about it, and I'm not a barbecue person. You know, when I go to eat, I think I'm in a burnt house, you know.
Well, there's a lot of barbecue businesses right now that are throwing rocks at you, big boy.
Well, I know it, and people I know love it, but that's the reason I go in them houses, and you can get it in your hands when you wash. You can still smell that burnt smell, you know, where you've been in that house.
So it smells like barbecue. So that's the attraction that you've had for it, and you never even realize it until right now.
Well, anyway. We'll leave it there.
I'm not going to let you.
I'm going to have to give a plug for Jerry Robinson. No,
I was going to say my first cousin, Jerry Robinson, is going to be mad at me.
Sleep pig.
Jerry, Bud will be out there next week at least 2 or 3 times. Just want to let you know that. All right. I'm afraid we're going to have to end the show. And we'll be back next Monday. And we'll have another great week. And this has been an especially good day for me. See you all. And everybody, Blackman Barbecue at 5 o'clock.
This has been a best of The Truman Show with guest Gary Brown, as well as Bud Mitchell.